Well, I don't know if anyone's ever come alongside you and said the words, "Don't worry, it's normal." Anyone ever said that to you? Never were those words so comforting to me when I'd spent my 10th night in a row by the bedside of a crying baby. Baby number one had arrived. No one had prepared us for this sleep deprivation torture. And there you are, you're standing by this bed thinking, what have we done wrong? And a friend comes alongside and says, "Don't worry. It's normal. It's the normal life of having a baby and raising a baby." Or maybe those words have comforted you as you've started a new job and there's a skill that you just can't get the hang of and you keep getting it wrong and you keep having to go back to the boss and saying, I don't know how to do this very well, I'm sorry. And you're beginning to think to yourself, oh, maybe I can't do this job. And someone comes alongside you and says, "Don't worry, it's normal. It takes a while to get this." And those words come, don't they, with comfort. They come. "Don't worry, it's normal." And I want to say to you this morning that Romans 7, as we arrive at this part in the book, it's as if God comes alongside those of us who are trusting Jesus for our justification, for our righteousness. He comes alongside us this morning with Romans 7, and he says to us, "It's normal." Now, what's normal? That's the question, isn't it? What's normal? Well, it's the daily war that rages within us. It's the war that's described in Romans 7, verse 21 to 23. So come with me, grab your Bible, have a look over. This is the war. Paul says, "So I find this law or this principle at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law or a work or a principle at work in me, waging war." There's the war. "Waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me." I wonder this morning, can you identify with that war? I believe Paul here is opening for us a window into the normal life of following the Lord Jesus. It's the daily war that rages among those of us who are trusting Jesus as Savior. It's the war between, if you look carefully at the words of verse 22, it's the war between the inner being. Now, that's Paul's language, I think, for describing the person, the renewed person, the new nature where the Holy Spirit is at work in those who are trusting Jesus to change us and to write God's laws into our hearts, into our inner beings. It's the war between that, the inner being, and the flesh, the sinful nature, the old us. And this war, if you can identify with it, causes an inner dialogue. Look at verse 15. "I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do." You ever had an inner conversation like that? I know that being patient is a good thing. You see it in someone else and you admire it and you think that's good. You see God's patience, you think, what a wonderful thing. And I even pray for patience when I wake up. And yet it's not long before the day rumbles on and my patience is tested and tried and I find myself doing things I don't want to do. Maybe you go to an office and you work with somebody and every day consistently a colleague lets you down. That email hasn't arrived in the morning that enables you to do your job, or perhaps they've done a task but they've done it wrong again. And what happens? You know patience is good, and yet immediately your patience is tested and you flare up and you get cross. Or you've got young kids and you're desperately trying to get out the house to school on time and they're not listening to you, and you've prayed for patience in the morning, you know it's a good thing, and yet immediately you do the things you don't want to do. Or perhaps it's watching stuff on the internet. You know there are certain things you shouldn't watch, images you shouldn't go to, things that aren't good for you to listen to or to read, and yet, even though you know it's good, you find this pull, and the things you don't want to do, you find yourself doing or grumbling. You pick up a phone and you know you shouldn't be grumbling about somebody else, but you get to the end of the phone call and what have you done? All you've done is just grumble about somebody. It's that inner dialogue, isn't it? It's the inner war. Is that you? Can you identify with that this morning? And this inner war can lead us, can't it, to certain troubles. It can lead us to doubts. It can lead us to doubt that we're even a Christian. I mean, Nathan preached last week, didn't he, on Romans chapter 6 and the power of sin's broken. And, you know, so why am I having such trouble with sin? Perhaps I'm not a Christian after all. Perhaps this, what's happened to me isn't real. And the war can lead us to doubt. For some of us, it can lead to weariness. Hey, listen, I'm going to be really upfront. When I've been struggling with the same since I was 18 years old. I'm 42. That's a long time to be warring some of the same sins. And you're like, I'm just weary in trying to do what God wants us to do, the right thing. For some of us, it can lead to defeatism, can't it? When we're busy in this war every day, it leads some of us to just say, well, that's the way I am. I'm just not going to bother anymore. That's just how I am. Until Jesus comes back, I'll just put up with this sin in my life. Maybe you're right there today. Maybe that's where you're at, defeated or weary, or you're doubting and you're tired of the war that rages within you. But Romans 7, this chapter we've got today together, it comes alongside us and it says to us, it's normal. The struggle with sin, the war that rages within us, is normal. You see, and if you're saying, but Nathan, hang on, it's a struggle to me, I'd say, good. If you're not struggling, then that's a bigger problem. The very fact that you have a struggle, this war rages within you, is a sign of real spiritual life. It's a sign that the Holy Spirit is at work within you to write God's law on your inner being, and he's putting in you these desires to do the right things, and there's a war going on with your sinful nature. The struggle is good. It shows that you have life. It's what I want to call this morning, which is up on our screens, our daily war to keep God's law, the law that God is now writing on our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And Romans chapter 7, in this struggle, I think it reminds us of a number of things that we need to remember as we live out this war every day. And here's the first thing that Romans 7 helps us to remember. Number one, we've got to remember that God's law, these laws that are being written on our hearts, these laws we have written down, can't condemn us. We've got to remember that. One of the temptations of that we face, I think, every day in this daily war is the fear of what happens when we break God's commands, when we break his laws, or we get it wrong, when we do the things we do not want to do, that do the things that God has written on our hearts, but we know we shouldn't do them, but then we do them. You know, we sing about this sometimes, don't we? When Satan tempts me to despair. We sing that line, and what is it he tempts us to? Well, he kind of tuts at us, and he says, well, you've done it again. You've broken God's law again, and so you're going to be in big trouble. Maybe you know that inner dialogue. But in the war to keep God's law, his good law, this war that rages between the sinful nature and the inner being, we need to remember that our relationship to the law has changed. A death has parted us with the condemning relationship of the law. We've all sat in church and listened, haven't we, to a bride and a groom make promises to one another. They say, to be faithful to you from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in health or illness, to love and to cherish. And how does it end? Till death parts us. Those promises stand, that covenant stands, the relationship stands until a death occurs. A death parts that relationship. And the point that Paul makes in this chapter is that a death has parted our relationship to the law. Now let's work through this, okay? We're going to have to work quite hard. Look at Romans 7 verses 1 to 3. Do you not know, brothers and sisters, for I am speaking to those who know the law, that the law has authority over someone only as long as that person lives? So this relationship with the law is one of authority. It has the right to condemn us if you break it. It's got authority over us. And then he gives an example of how this works. For example, verse 2. By law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law that binds her to him. So then, if she has sexual relations with another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. Why? Because the law has authority over her. She's bound in this relationship. But if her husband dies, she's released from that law and is not an adulteress if she marries another man. That the relationship to the law, the binding agreement, has changed because of a death. Now, just as it is with a husband and wife, the relationship is dissolved at death, so it is with someone trusting Jesus and their relationship to the law. Look at verse 4. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. The Lord Jesus fulfilled the law perfectly, and then he died on a cross. A death then parts his relationship with the law. And as we are joined to Jesus, like Tim showed us earlier, we're joined and connected to him, we share in his death, and therefore a death has parted us from the law, from its condemning relationship to us. We've died to the law as the way that we will be judged. We have died to the law as the measure of our life and righteousness. And we now belong to the Lord Jesus. Verse 6 kind of picks up on this idea. But now by dying to what once bound us, there's the thing, the law once had a hold over us, authority over us, we have been released from the law so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Now maybe you're sitting there thinking, still don't understand it. And maybe come talk to me later if we can, and we can talk about this. But here's the point that we need to understand. We've been released from the law as the means that will condemn us, released from the law to serve God in a new way, the way of the Holy Spirit. And in my daily war to keep God's law that is being written into my hearts, I need to remember that the law has no hold on me. It no longer can condemn me, because through Jesus the law has been fulfilled, and through Jesus my relationship to the law has now ended. A death has parted me from the authority that God's law had over me. Whilst the law is something to delight in and is being written in my inner being, our relationship to the law has changed. So you've come with me back to chapter 6 and verse 14. Because Paul is really expanding this in this part of chapter 7. He says, "For sin shall no longer be your master, because you're not under law but under grace." When I'm in my daily war, I have to remember that my relationship to the law is one where it can't condemn me anymore. When I do the things I don't want to do, an inner voice says, Satan tempts me to despair, and he says, look what you've done, you're in trouble. But I need to remember, no, because the law hasn't got that authority over me anymore, because Christ fulfilled that law, and he's freed me from the authority of the law, and I now belong to Jesus, and the law can't condemn me. Number 2, the law can't condemn me, but neither can the law save us. We see this in verses 7 to 13. I guess we've all had that experience of seeing a command written somewhere, and actually we just find ourselves wanting to do the command. So the classic example would be you see a sign that says, "Don't walk on the grass," and every bit of you just wants to walk on the grass. Or maybe that's just me, you're all looking like, "No, I would never walk on the grass." Or, who hasn't done this one? When you walk down a street and they've painted the lampposts and there's that sign that says wet paint, who doesn't want to just poke it and see if it's a little bit sticky? Anyone else? You know, yeah, two of you in the room, three of you in the room. That's good. So I'm not the only, like, condemned sinner here. That's good. So that's what we want to do, isn't it? You see a command and there's something in you that just wants to do it. Or a letter drops in onto the mat of the house. And then you see it, and it says private and confidential, and it's not addressed to you. And there's just a little bit of intrigue, isn't there? I think it's private and confidential. I wonder what's in there. And you feel more drawn to open that letter than you would any other. Why? Is that because the command is wrong? Well, of course not. There's nothing wrong with the command. The command is good. The sign, do not touch the paint, do not walk on the grass. They're good signs. They're good words. So what is the problem? Well, let's have a look at verse 7. See, this is Paul asking the same thing. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not, because the laws are good. Look at verse 12. Flick over to verse 12. The law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. The things God says to us, his laws, all the things that we have recorded for us in the Old Testament are good. What God says about work, what God says about relationships, about the way that we live our lives in community together, what he says about sexuality, all these things are good and for our good. But rather than those things saving me, actually all those commands have done is expose sin in me, in any of us. The commands are good, but they actually show us the problem of our hearts. So you come back with me to verse 7. What then shall we say? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. But nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, you shall not covet. And more than just exposing, more than the law just kind of shining a light into our lives and saying, look, these things are wrong. Actually, the law, sin took the opportunity with the law and it arouses sin within us. So look at verse 8. But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin is dead. So when I see that sign that says, do not walk on the grass, what does it do? It in something inside me, seizes the opportunity to do something wrong. And that's what the laws of God do. Now, I think Paul here is talking about being pre-Christian, pre-saved by the Lord Jesus. The law could never save him. Instead, it just exposed in him sin. The law could never save him. Instead, it just aroused those feelings, those desires to sin. Now, why do we need to know this when we're fighting this war every day? Well, we need to remember, it's important to remember in our daily war with sin that God's law could never save us and will never save us. You are not in this war for your salvation. You're not in this war to win God's approval, to earn your righteousness. Before grace, before Jesus, the law could only ever expose sin or it aroused sin in you. And so here's the thing to remember. Don't slip back in this war every day to thinking that your keeping of the law is the thing that will save you. The law can't condemn you anymore, but neither is the law there to save you. Your relationship to the law in that sense has broken. Actually, it's Jesus who saves us. And we've got to remember that the law is good, but it won't save you. Don't put your new desires to keep God's law in their wrong place. Those inner desires are not about your salvation. They're about now serving the one who has saved you. Remember, God's law is good, but it can't save you. And maybe you're here this morning or you've tuned in online, and that's kind of where you're at the moment. Maybe you've had exposure to the Bible. Maybe you know things like the Ten Commandments. And as you square up to these things, you're thinking to yourself, actually, do you know what? There's no way I could keep these things. And all these laws have done in you is expose the fact that, yeah, I'm in trouble with God. If this is what's going to judge me and this is what I need to keep to be right with God, then I'm in trouble. But God's good news, which we're looking at in Romans, is that no, you can't save yourself, but Jesus can save you. His obedience to the law is the very thing that has set us free from needing to keep the law for our salvation. Are you feeling any sense of conviction as you hear God's laws, as you hear of his ways, of his standards? If that is true, then let the law, these laws, as it were, that expose sin, that arouse sin within us, lead you to forgiveness from him. Hey, we're working quite hard this morning. I hope you're okay behind all your masks in here. Okay, so here's what I think. We're in a war, a daily war. And as we live that war out, this normal life, you've got to remember a couple of things. Number one, the law can't condemn you. Okay, so when you're in this battle every day and you're thinking, oh, these laws, and I can't seem to keep them, don't worry, the law can't condemn you because Jesus has saved you from the law, from the condemnation of the law. And when you're in this war every day, neither should you be thinking, oh man, this law is what's going to save me, and so I've got to keep it or else I won't be saved. No, because Jesus saved you. That was never the function of the law. But here's number three, and this kind of ties it all together. God's law should keep us relying on Jesus. God's law, these things that are being written on our hearts, should keep us relying on Jesus. In our house, we have something that we call crafting. Now, that's not something to do with Minecraft, and neither is it to do with making things. It is the phenomenon that we see in children of crying and laughing at the same time. You ever witnessed this phenomenon? Yeah, a few of you are nodding. It's an amazing thing. Two things that you don't normally expect to go together just miraculously coexist in our children. They can be absolutely crying their eyes out and yet at the same time laughing. And we don't quite know how this phenomenon works, but it's something to witness. I won't record it because it'll embarrass my children. But we call it crafting, crying and laughing. Now, I want to say to you this morning that Romans 7 says to us that crafting is the daily experience, or should be the daily experience, of a Christian living out this daily war to keep God's law. Look at verse 24 and 25 with me. So Paul's in this dialogue, okay? He's like, oh, I do the things I don't want to do, and what I do, I do not do, and all these things. He's going back and forward. And then verse 24, what does it make him cry? What a wretched man that I am, he says. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? See, on the one hand, the war puts in us a cry, a deep despair. Now, if you're still with me this morning, who hasn't felt the cry of verse 24? When you've done that particular sin again, when you've lashed out with your words, or you've drunk too much, or you've watched something you shouldn't, or you've sent that text message you regret, or you've got off the phone and that you're lamenting the conversation that you shouldn't have had, who hasn't in some way felt the wretchedness of that? Who, when under the influence of the Holy Spirit, hasn't at some point thought to themselves, what a wretched person I am. I'm loved by God, forgiven by God. Why would I do that? Who hasn't thought that? And therefore, it's not surprising, is it, that you start to look for help outside of yourself? Because the help's not coming from within me, because all that's raging within me is a battle, a war. I do the things I don't want to do, and the things that are good, I know are good, I just seem to not do them. But alongside the cry of despair in a Christian that looks out and says, what a wretched man I am, who's going to save me from this, comes the laugh of joy, the laugh of leaning into Jesus. Look at verse 25, side by side. These aren't separate things. These are lived out in the same experience. Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's those four words. That is the gospel, isn't it? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. See, there's crafting going on in the Christian life. Crying in despair. Oh, what a wretched person I am. Look at the mess this war is creating. And laughing with joy. Defiant despair, as it were. Despair and defiant confidence in Jesus. He is the one who delivers us. He has delivered us. He will deliver us. He is delivering us from these bodies that are full of sin and want to do the things that God says we shouldn't do and don't want to do the things He says we should do. See, at His return, the Lord Jesus Christ will rid us. Not only has He rid us from the penalty for sin and the power of sin, but when He comes again, He will rid us of the presence of sin. And this war won't exist anymore. And so in our daily war, to keep God's law, the law that's being written on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. What should it do? It should keep us running to Jesus, the one who delivers us, who has delivered us by giving his life on a cross, who is delivering us as he helps us by his Holy Spirit, and who will deliver us when he comes again. See, remember that we belong to him, and he has given us his Spirit to help us. That's why we keep singing that song with the kids, Our Help. So important as we move on through the book of Romans, the Holy Spirit becomes key to living out the life of trusting Jesus. So friends, it's normal. It's normal. If you are trusting the Lord Jesus this morning, Romans 7 comes alongside us. God puts an arm around us and he says, it's normal. The daily war to keep God's law that we face, that we wrestle with, it's normal for those of us trusting Jesus. And as that war rages on, Romans 7 says to us, remember that God's law can't condemn you, so don't fall into that trap. Remember that God's law can't save you, so don't fall into that trap. Instead, let it keep you running to Jesus, the one who delivers us from these bodies of death. Let's pray together about those things, and then let's sing a final song. Our Father, this morning we want to thank you for the encouragement of Romans 7. Father, those of us who are trusting in Jesus this morning, I think most of us would be honest enough to say not a day goes by where we do not feel this war that Paul describes in these verses. The war of in our inner beings, where you've graciously gifted us your Spirit, knowing what is good, knowing what is right, and yet having lives that just seem to do the opposite. Father, we thank you that this chapter encourages us that these experiences are normal. And Father, we really identify with this. What a wretched people we are, Father. We feel that regularly. Who will rescue us from these bodies of death? We connect with what Paul says. And so we want to say thank you to you. Thank you to you who delivers us through the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you for the gospel this morning. May we keep running to him. Help us to keep running to Jesus in the war daily. Help us not to fall into the trap of thinking that we have to keep the law so we won't be condemned, or we have to keep the law so we'll be saved. Lord, please keep us from those errors and keep us running to Jesus, the one who has delivered us at the cross, who will deliver us when he comes again. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.